times I am rejected and I feel so all alone. Then I try to reach my father and I know he'll be home. For when life gets hard to handle and I'm fearful and alarmed, I get anxious to find Jesus and he stands with open arms. I got a hold of God this morning. I talked directly to the throne. Oh, I went there brokenhearted, so afraid and so
of the precious Holy One. As I waited there in silence, I knew that he would come. Then I saw the light of heaven. He came right into my room. When I felt his presence touch me, oh, I knew that I prayed through.
I got a hold of God this morning.
We're going to begin with chapter 9 this morning. Last week I read from chapter 10. I'm continuing the sermon from last week about the miracles, the blood, the supernatural power of the blood that is manifest for you and I. I'm using as a title this morning, What the Blood Does for Your Life. That was the title last week. I'm sorry. I wrote it down here if I can find it. Hallelujah. The blood doesn't just cleanse your sins. The blood will make you whole again. That's my message. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood. Now hear that. What can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood. Amen. That's my message. And so we go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. I've got me a new Bible, but I'm not acquainted with it enough to use it yet. It's called a computer Bible. It's a Bible big enough for an old man to read without having to hold it right up to his eyes. And I'll have it going at least by next week, okay? I promise. Let's go to Hebrews 9, verse 11. We'll start. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Now listen, I'll read that again. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Now listen to that. Christ, a high priest, not a high priest of a temple that was in Jerusalem, but of a temple that's in heaven, a greater temple, a greater tabernacle. I like that. I never read it and saw it like this before. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. He entered in once into the holy place, being, listen carefully, will you? Hallelujah. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. He entered in once into a holy place, the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, I never saw that before. When he entered into that holy place, it wasn't in Jerusalem. It wasn't the temple that the Jews had built, Solomon had built in Jerusalem. It was the heavenly temple, the heavenly tabernacle, the heavenly holy place. And you say, Brother Chambers, where is it in the Bible that shows us Jesus entering into the holy place? The holy place cannot be anywhere but in that inner sanctum of God's temple. And there was only two, one on earth and one in heaven. It wasn't the one on earth. So Jesus actually entered into the holy place in heaven. When did he enter into that? The day of his resurrection. I can read for you what he said to one of the lady that had been delivered. Her name was one of the special names in the Holy Bible, and she came to the garden where he was resurrected, and she was about to touch him, and he said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my God and your God, my Father, your Father." He said, "But go tell my disciples that I ascend to heaven." Did you know the day he was resurrected, that he ascended to heaven, went into the holy place in the heavenly temple, deposited his own blood on the altar, and came back and met his disciples before the day was over? Oh, you say, Brother Chambers, you mean Jesus ascended all the way to the Father's throne? Well, you're measuring by human calculation. God measures by heavenly calculation. Hallelujah. I don't know how far it is from where he was resurrected to the holy temple, but I know he was there and back in a flash. And he was there to deposit that blood that he has spilled on the holy, holy altar in the heavenly temple. How many heard that now? How many got what I just said? How many got just what I said? Do you know, I've been trying to preach this to preachers for years, and I don't know one of them I've been able to get to preach it to. I really don't. It's over their head. They can't calculate something so divine and wonderful. But the Bible is real. And I'll read again. I mean, you got to hear what the Bible says. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once. Notice, only once. Did you notice? Only once. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Wow. I'm overwhelmed with that scripture. I really am. I'm overwhelmed with it. I'm here to tell you that the Son of God is a victorious one. And that blood he spilled is not over there somewhere dissolved in the ground underneath where the cross was. And dogs didn't lick it up. No, no, no. It was carried and put on the altar of the Heavenly Father in heaven. And this altar is an extension of that altar. You've got churches all over the world that are taking their altars out and putting them up in a classroom somewhere to gather dust. I'm here to tell you this morning, when this revival comes, that God's going to send, the altar is going to be again in place. And again a mighty place, and again a holy place, and God is going to do his work like his word promises. Amen. Somebody say amen, please. I love it. I love it. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more? You see, when the Old Testament people went to worship, they took the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, doves, I mean different things that they used. And there was a sanctifying power in that blood, because it was a shadow of Christ coming. It was a shadow of something in the future. But if that blood could cleanse, how much more can the blood of Christ cleanse? Father, help me preach this morning. I'm overwhelmed with the thought that what can make me whole again but the blood of Jesus? And what can make my audience, massive though it be, whole again by the blood of Jesus? I claim it, Father, a mighty miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. Always when your pastor, you may be seated, always when your pastor has preached, I wish you would learn to pray with him for the word of God to prevail and to multiply. That was a prayer of the New Testament church. They didn't just preach the word and settle back and wait on God. They continued in prayer for God to make the word to prevail. Last Sunday, I preached a part of this sermon. 380-some people counted on Facebook have listened to that sermon. Some of them were families. More listened on internet. And more listen on YouTube. And I'm grateful for that. The audience was quite large, much larger than we have any perspective sitting here this morning. But the word preached has got to also be anointed. It's got to go in unction by the Holy Ghost. And so pray with me that every person who turns that radio on, who turns that computer on, who goes to the Facebook or wherever, and hear a sermon, that the power of God will get a hold of them and bring them to repentance before God. Now, last week, I told you five things that the blood does. Let me repeat them slowly. Number one, the blood saves sinners from their sins so that they can go to heaven and not hell. Number one, the blood saves sinners from their sins. Number two, the blood cleanses the human conscience so that we don't grieve over the sins of our past. We can forget them because the blood has cleansed our conscience. You know, as a pastor, I've probably had more people in my life than in maybe any other category to say to me, I can't forget my sins. I grieve over my sins. Well, I understand that. I'm sad about many of mine. I don't grieve over them because I know my conscience has been cleansed. My heart has been cleansed. My sins are gone. My sins are gone. Where are they? Underneath the cross of Calvary. Underneath the shed blood of the Master. underneath, they're forgotten. They're not even remembered. They're not in God's consciousness because my sins are gone. Number three, I told you that the blood of Jesus will unite a man and woman in marriage until their marriage becomes an event made in heaven. An event made in heaven. There's nothing more beautiful than a marriage that's made in heaven. There's nothing more hellish than a marriage made in hell either. Made in sin and darkness and evil. God help us. He can cleanse all of that. And he can take a marriage made in hell and turn it into one made in heaven. If both of the partners will surrender their life to walk with God. Will surrender their life to serve the Lord Jesus. He's a miracle working God. Number four, I preached about how the blood can give you the capacity to worship. I really believe that worship has got to be one of the greatest human acts and human experiences of all the world. Worship is so powerful that if you learn to get along with God regular and worship until your heart worships, you will become a happy Christian. Many Christians are miserable because they've never learned how to worship. They've never learned the joy of getting in God's presence and opening the heart until worship flows out. It's beautiful. If you've never learned to worship, I would tell you that God is your answer. Find you a place to pray, and you begin to pray for the mood of worship, for the spirit of worship, and you seek God until worship becomes a way of life. I will tell you, when you learn how to worship, you will then know how to pray. If you learn how to worship, you will then know how to pray, because real prayer comes after one has worshiped. Hallelujah. You learn to worship and prayer will follow your worship. And then number five, I told you about the stripes. The stripes on Jesus' back. The stripes that was offered for the healing of your body. And I told you that those stripes was consumed with blood. Those stripes were more than just stripes on his back. That was the drawing of blood from the wounds of this blessed Son of God. And the pain and the misery of that whipping that he took. And those stripes mingled with his divine blood has healing power that knows no failure. I'm telling you right now, when you trust him to heal you, he can no more fail than the sun can fall out of the sky. I'm telling you, when you trust him for your miracle and refuse to doubt, you refuse to turn away and turn to the flesh and depend on God, you're going to get a miracle, friend. It's a miracle working God that we serve. It's a miracle working God that we serve. What a redeemer. What a redeemer. But then, I've got to move into some other areas this morning that are so very, very powerful. You see, the bloodline of Jesus Christ is an open door into the holies of holies in the heavens. Now, let me try to get you to see that place. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is not just somebody's fairy tale. Did you know that? How many know that heaven is real? How many know that heaven is real? Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful for situation is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. That's the Bible. That's Psalms 48. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful for situation is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now, the city is there. Have you accepted that? There is a temple there. There is a temple there. It is the heavenly temple. For eternity, Jesus was the high priest in that temple. He came from the high priesthood over the temple to become an Emmanuel, a God with us, and to bear our sins, and to take His blood and spill it to satisfy the wrath of wickedness and godliness that made the world such a sad place. There's a temple up there, and there's an altar up there, and there's a holy place up there. And God sits in that holy place. And the blood of Jesus is your door to go in. Raise your hand if you got that. I want to see if you got it. The blood of Jesus is your door to go into that heavenly place called the holies of holies. The holies of holies in the heavens, in the city of our God, in the temple of our God. In the place of His majesty and glory and power. And you can pray until you pray your way into that holy place. But the only way in is the blood. The only way in is the blood. Are you hearing me? How many understand what I said? Raise your hand if you know the blood opens the door for you to go in to the temple of God in heaven. Literally in the spirit, you go in. In this life, you don't go in the physical. You go in the spiritual. But I won't tell you. Your spirit is as real as your body. Your spirit is as real as your body. We're not just a body and a soul. We are spirit. The spirit is the breath of life that God give us. It's that which comes alive when you're born again. It's that which the Holy Ghost takes up residence in when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And that spirit of every one of us. I went this morning into that place. And it was heavenly. I can believe for anything I even think about when I'm in that place. It's glorious. It's beyond measure. And there's one way in. How many can say the blood? Come on, say it out loud. The blood. The only way into that holy place is the blood. But it's real. It's real. There's songs that have been sung about it. It used to be the conversation of great men of God on a continual basis. I can remember when some of the men that we've been partners with would spend hours talking about that holy place and that sacred prayer place called the inner chamber, the inner circle of the mighty God. Oh, what a gentle boy. Run, snackily boy. Raise our hand and worship God with me a moment. If you will learn to pray until you pray inside that temple, you'll become a prayer warrior and you'll be a different person. You wouldn't be so many people backslid and half-hearted and always on the downward turn if they'd learn how to pray until God takes them into that holy place. Woo, hallelujah. Oh, I love preaching about this. I wish I could get people to grab it. I wish I could get you to understand it. Man, I believe maybe some of you are getting it this morning. But I'm telling you, if we will learn, Brother Derek preached good Wednesday night about prayer, the church praying. It was very good. And I'm here to tell you, the greatest need of the hour is a church full of prayer. A church full of praying until we pray. Into the sanctuary of the Lord. The holy place. The holy place. When you pray inside that holy place, it turns things over inside of you. How many have ever prayed inside the holy place? Let me see your hand. You ever can say at least one time you have prayed until you was inside that holy place. 5-6 hands. 7 hands maybe. That's not bad. But that's not anything like it ought to be. I'm telling you. It doesn't matter how young you are, Sister Esther. It doesn't matter how young you are, Sister Charity. If you will learn how to get in your bedroom and shut the door and say, Mama, leave me alone for a while. I'm just going to pour myself out to God. I'm going to seek the Lord until the Lord shows up. And you go in there and you say, little ladies, I'm here to tell you, it won't be long until you'll be a prayer warrior that Brother Chambers can count on. And Brother Chambers can lean on. I know I've got some folks. Of praying. The blood is the only door inside that chamber. The blood. I want everybody to say that out loud. The blood is the only door inside that chamber. But it's real. How many of you really believe it's real? Do you believe there's really a heaven? Do you believe there's really a heaven? Do you believe there's really a temple up there in heaven? Do you believe it? Can you accept it? And do you believe in that temple? There's a holy place. There's an inner sanctum. There's a center that the temple and the tabernacle on earth was nothing but a shadow of. The Bible says that the great, beautiful building that Solomon built in Jerusalem was a shadow of the one in heaven. It had a holy place, had a veil. You could go in only once a year. Well, that one in heaven, you can go in anytime you go in the name of Jesus. It's not once a year experience. It's an everyday experience. If you will make it such that you can go into that inner chamber, Brother Derek, it'll change our lives. If we can learn to pray by the blood, only the blood, nothing but the blood can get you in that chamber. But it's real. Boy, I'm preaching to you something that's really wonderful. This is overwhelming. I need to spend maybe two or three sermons on it. Take you all through it, but you saw what I read. Let's go back. I want you to really anchor this in your mind and to your heart, because I don't want you to ever forget it. Again, go back and look at verse 12. Go look at verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Jesus only went once into that holy place. Saints of God, I'm talking to you about something that's overwhelming. And now the blood makes the door for you to go in and have this great communion with God. Let me move to the next point. The blood is a doorway. No, let's say it this way. The blood is a highway that goes from here to heaven. The blood is a highway that goes from here to heaven. You don't just get saved and say, I'm a Christian, and then live like you please. A real saint of God lives by the blood. A real saint of God pleads the blood and claims the blood. And the blood is the highway that gets them from here to the Father's presence. Let me tell you a cute one. Friday, my Teresa and my Krista was off with the children just for a little outing. And on the way back, Teresa and Krista was talking about Mamo. That's my wife. My sweetheart, Juanita. And they were longing for her. They were longing to see her. My children never forget Mamo. They could forget me in a minute, I guess. But they never forget Mamo. And they was talking about her. And look, a little Natalie. She's only 3. Well, she'll be 4 soon. She said, Mamo, Mama, don't you know that when we go to heaven, we're going to see Mamo? And they couldn't believe a 3-year-old came up with that and said, don't you know when we go to heaven, we're going to see Mama? Well, I believe that with all my heart. I have no question. I'm going to see Mama again. Jesus was Jesus when he walked on the earth, and he was Jesus when he went to heaven, and he'll be Jesus when he comes back in the clouds. And Brother Chambers is Brother Chambers here and now. I'll be Joseph Chambers then and there. What a day. But listen, the highway there is not my goodness and your goodness. It's not the Paul Creek Church. It's not any church anywhere. It's the blood. It's the blood that's the highway from here to there. It's the blood. It's the blood that you walk on that highway every day. And you stay in the blood. And you stay under the blood. And you trust in the blood. And you know the Lord's going to take care of you. All the way to heaven. Will you never forget the blood is the highway The blood is the highway, Renee, from here to there. The blood is the highway from here to there. It overwhelms me to realize that if I walk in the blood, I can no more miss heaven. It is impossible for me to miss heaven if I stay in the blood. It is impossible. It is impossible. Hallelujah. The blood. I move on to number 8. The blood is the total defeat of Satan. We know Satan is real, don't we? If this epidemic doesn't prove to the world that the devil is real, what would it take? How many of you know where this epidemic started? Anybody know? China? Do you know China is one of the greatest persecutors of Christians in the world? Have you read lately? Go on your internet and pull up some articles that will probably be before the epidemic started. And look at how they burn churches and kill preachers and jail members of the church. They hate Christianity. This hell started right under their auspices and came right out of their location and spread across this earth. And if it is in hell, all you got to do is listen to the newscasters who talk about it all the time and always are trying their best to scare you to death. This past Friday, I listened to Vince on WBT. Vince is a black man. He does the 10 to 12 news program, well, talk show. And he's a wonderful conservative man. And Vince had so many good things to say. Now, I understand he's a black man. That makes no difference with me. Colors don't mean a thing. I love people, period. Their color and their race don't mean a thing to me. I love people as individuals. And I thank God I've always been that way. But Vince happens to be a black man, but he's a conservative. I mean, he is a wonderful conservative. And one man called him and said, "Vince, you got to run for office. Vince, you got to run for office." Well, I felt the same way, but I listened to him, and he had me just a-jumping, talking about every good thing was happening right now all over America. He was giving one report after the other that was just so good. And about 4 o'clock in the evening, I turned on CNN, and I decided I would listen to them a minute. And in 10 minutes, they had me so depressed and so negative feeling and so overwhelmed that I said, "What in the world?" I just listened to Vince, and he had me all lifted up. And I listened to CNN, and they had me down in the basement. Well, I was really kind of under the basement time I finally turned them off. Well, what's the difference? The difference is the devil is the destroyer of people. The devil is the fearmonger. The devil is the hater. The devil is the evil one. And the devil is a liar. And this whole thing comes from the devil and from his evil. And that's why if we could get enough people praying in the power of the Holy Ghost and the blood, we'd defeat it. Are you listening to me? But the blood is the devil's defeat. Somebody say with me, the blood is the devil's defeat. The blood is the devil's defeat. Some of you have never heard me tell this. I had a dream when I was pastor of Black Mountain. I was fighting the devil. I was having a hard time. And so I had this dream one night. And the devil was chasing me with a serpent. And I was running for my life. That devil was right behind me. I'm talking about a snake. A snake was right behind me and chasing me. And I was running with all I had. And I looked down the road. And I saw a line across the road. And in my dream, I knew I had to go and jump over that line. And I would be out of the devil's reach, out of the snake's reach. I ran. I jumped over that line, and that snake went in a hole on the other side that I just come across from. And I said, "God," I woke up, of course. I said, God, what in the world does that dream mean? That is overwhelming. He said, son, you just saw how the snake cannot cross a line. He said, that line you saw was the bloodline. And when you ran and jumped over the bloodline, the devil had to disappear. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The devil cannot cross the bloodline. I said, the devil cannot cross the bloodline. I want you to get it in your heart and your mind to the core of your being. The devil cannot cross the bloodline. Are you listening to me? The devil cannot cross the bloodline. You live on the right side of the blood, and the devil will be defeated in your life every day of your existence. Hallelujah. And you will walk that highway of the blood right into the presence of God. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody has got to help me shout a little bit, will you? Nobody has stood up since I started preaching. One of you ladies, show these men what it is to stand up and say hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Marilyn. You didn't get all the way up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm telling you, the blood is a highway to heaven. And it's a highway overcoming the devil. It's a bloodline. I've never forgot that in all my life. The devil cannot cross the bloodline. The devil cannot cross the bloodline. I said, the devil cannot cross the bloodline. Hallelujah. Oh, what a joy. What a joy. Now, the blood has some incredible future things to do. Did you know this earth is going to be purified, spotlessly clean? Did you know there will be a day when there won't be an act of homosexuality? There won't be an abortion. There won't be a lie. There won't be an unclean person. There won't be an ugly situation. There will be nothing dark and destructive. The day is coming when the blood of Jesus is going to purify this earth and make a holy place out of it. I want you to raise your hand. Are you listening to me, Brother Jose? Oh, the day is coming when the blood is going to wash this earth and make a pure place out of it. Hallelujah. Jesus just didn't die to save your soul. He died to save this world. He died to make this world a holy place. What a day that's going to be. Now, I'm going to end my sermon this morning, something I preached a time or two, but I want you to take your Bible, go with me to the book of Acts, I'm sorry, the book of Revelation, forgive me there, the book of Revelation. I want you to look with me with one of the greatest things in the Bible. I remember the morning the Holy Ghost gave it to me, right across from where Renee is sitting. It hit me. And I declared it with the power of the Holy Ghost upon me. So take Revelation. Open it up to chapter 19. Go to verse 17. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. And the wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Now move over. Move over. Verse 17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, having an equal voice, saying to the that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourself unto the supper of the great God. Hallelujah. Now, we must go back to 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Now, you see the event. The marriage supper just took place. Something's fixing to happen now, and the Lord Jesus is coming down from heaven. And before he comes from heaven, before he leaves a celestial place, the Bible said, and this is beautiful to me. You don't ever want to forget it. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Now that's one of the greatest truths in the Bible to me about the end time. The vesture on Jesus dipped in blood before he leaves heaven to come back and fight the battle of Armageddon. Now you talk about the blood being manifest. There's no blood in heaven except Jesus' blood. There's been no animals slain up there. There's been no humans to die up there. Only blood in heaven is that he put in that holy place that I told you about earlier on the altar. And so Jesus, when he leaves heaven to come back to the earth to set up a 1,000-year millennial kingdom, he takes his vesture and dips it in his own blood on that altar in heaven. And then he descends to defeat the devil and all his evil. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus is the most magnanimous truth in the Bible. As much as we love his birth, as much as we love his death, as much as we love his resurrection, the much as we love his return, the fact of his blood is the victory from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. And every great thing that's about to happen is because of the mighty power of his blood. I'm here to tell you, the blood of Jesus is the triumphant power. The blood of Jesus is the redeeming power. The blood of Jesus is the victorious power. The blood of Jesus will bring the wickedness of this world to its conclusion and judgment. The blood of Jesus is your hope and my hope. Hallelujah. And this very morning, the blood is dynamite to take you right across the divide to that heavenly realm. Glory to God. You say, I'm scared to think of flying up through the sky. I'm not afraid to think of it, because I'm going to be walking on a highway rich with red blood from Calvary's cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's no fear when the blood covers your life. There's no fear when you live in the power of the blood. Would you stand? I've tried my best to preach this morning as simple as I know how. I want you to live in the power of the blood. Sister Carmen, I want the whole nation out there. I want Charlotte out there to get the force of a message like I brought you this morning. Now, I'm not perfect. I haven't preached it perfectly. I don't claim perfection. I'm not even looking for it. I'm looking for that cross. And the blood. You know what the Holy Ghost has shown me? That wonder in the heavens is going to be a great cross pulsating with the blood. So that when this world sees that sign in the heavens, it'll be blood-centered. It won't be something flesh. It won't be something celestial. It won't be something golden. It'll be something rich in the blood. That's what I'm believing. You say, have you seen it? I think I have. I'm not going to be too bold and this morning to say. I'll know when I see it. But I'm looking for the cross in the sky and the blood on it. Telling this world there's nothing that will save you but the blood. Now let's pray. How many of you are ready to say, Father, I'm going to depend on the blood as never before? Let me see your hand. Raise your right hand up as high as you can get it. If you will say with me, I'm going to depend on the blood as never before. I'm going to depend on the blood as never before. I'm going to live in the power of the blood. Sister Esther, you mean that, don't you? I'm going to live in the power of the blood. I'm going to live in the power of the blood. I'm going to walk in the power of the blood. I'm going to be an overcomer by the power of the blood. The devil is going to be defeated and driven in utter bankruptcy and defeat by the power of the blood. Father, in Jesus' name. Brother Derek, come here. I want you to pray a moment for me. I want you to pray for this mighty blood to sweep through this place.
Father, we come in Jesus' name, O God. By the blood, mighty God, triumphant, O God, victorious, mighty God, by the blood, mighty God, we depend upon that blood, the blood of Jesus, that life-giving substance, that blood, O God, that takes us into the heavenly, O God. We come by the blood. We understand it. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, O God, and the words of our testimony, mighty God. We thank you that we come because of the blood. We thank you that we enter in because of the blood. We thank you, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, O God, and as we go forth, O God, as we go out, as we walk, we're covered by that blood, mighty God. The enemy cannot come and can't cross that bloodline. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we live in the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we're victorious because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, mighty God, in the mighty name of Jesus, in you that we live and move and have our very being. We thank you that we can come boldly, Father God. We come boldly into the throne room of God. We come boldly, O God, as we enter into the holies of holies, O God. We thank you, mighty God. What is going on in heaven is going down upon the earth, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. As we approach, O God, from that perspective of where the blood is, O God, applied into the heavenly, we approach it in the natural when we bow at the altar, mighty God, when we come in contact with that blood, mighty God, that blood of Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed on Calvary, O God, the blood that has defeated our enemies, O God, as he transcended, as he went up into the heavenly, destroying principalities and powers and making a show of them, O God, openly, Lord. We thank you for that blood that covers us, O God. We're victorious because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We're the